I think something that we are very intentional about in our Catholic schools is having an opportunity for everyone to be a part of that community. We are not, you know, most of our schools have many, many students that are not Catholic. So we are very inclusive. We are welcoming to students of all faiths in our communities. And I think it is a very safe space. It is very much family oriented, right? Families are huge partners, right? Like, parents are the first teachers, right, of their students.
Yes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Kim Gore. Kim is the Director of Professional Learning at the National Catholic Education Association, and that's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Awesome. So tell us, Kim, a little bit about you and exactly what it is that you do.
So I have been in the field of education for over 30 years. I spent 20 years in the classroom before moving into leadership, and most recently taking on a position called the Director of Catholic, that was my old title, taking on a new role of the Director of Professional Learning at NCEA, which is the National Catholic Education Association. I am very fortunate to work with educators across the country, looking for content that is most needed by our Catholic school superintendents, principals, teachers, that ultimately ends up benefiting the students in our schools. So I, you know, host webinars and look at blogs and again, really, it's just content. It is the scope or the gamut of the content that impacts our Catholic schools.
Awesome. And so when you talk about Catholic schools, how many Catholic schools are there in the United States? Do you have a ballpark number?
I don't, but I could certainly find that for you.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm just curious because I'm like, you're talking about national. That's not two or three schools, right?
I mean, it's thousands. It is thousands.
It's in the thousands. Yeah, it's in the thousands. Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought, because I'm like, that's not, you don't have a small job.
No,
definitely not a small job. That's exciting. I grew up in,
I was just going to say, and the scope of our schools from very, very small to what we call a micro school, which could just be a handful of teachers and, less than, between 50 and 100 students to our Catholic high schools that could have thousands of students. So The size of our schools really, is kind of the broad spectrum of clientele.
Yeah. When I grew up in Grand Island, Nebraska, I know there's a Catholic school there. I didn't go to it, but my best friend did. And, I can't even tell you the name of it anymore. I don't remember. I think it was a K-8, because I think after eighth grade, then they went, I don't remember. But gosh, that's a long time ago. It was 40 years ago. But still, it's like the Catholic faith is a very big organization. I don't even want to call it that. Right. It's not a religion. Association. Anyway, I'm tripling over it. I get it. I really get it. But I'm just like, it's exciting. I mean, and I have experience because I as I was telling you, I was raised Catholic. So I love the fact that I'm getting to talk to you and talk about the beautiful things that God is doing in the Catholic Education Association. So give us a little bit of a rundown of
relevant this week, because it is National Catholic Schools Week this week. So we are celebrating Catholic schools. Yes.
Awesome. So today for our listeners, today is January 27th, 2026. So by the time this is published, we'll be past, but that's okay. That's okay. We will celebrate it right now anyway. So that's really awesome. So how did you get into this role? What led you to first of all running a school, and now you're like over all of these organizations?
Yeah, so it's really interesting, my career trajectory. My mother was a teacher, and she was always very present in my life, and I knew I wanted to be a mom, and I knew I wanted to have a career. And so because I saw her being so successful as a teacher and as a mother, that's kind of what drove me to education in the first place. And I was a teacher for about 20 years. And I really and truly I still to this day refer to myself as a teacher. I will always, I just will always be a teacher. I loved being in the classroom. But then when I made this switch to leadership as a principal and then as a superintendent, and now, in this new role as the director of professional learning, my passion has always been curriculum and instruction. So I have a master's in curriculum instruction, my doctorate's in curriculum instruction, because I am always seeking the opportunity and ways to make instruction better. We know that our students are changing as times are changing. If I think back to when I began my career in the mid-90s and to what it looks like today, it's very different. I remember being a brand new teacher and listening to veteran teachers at the time talk about, well, back when I started in kids 20, 30 years ago, and now that I'm at that point in my career, like the way that things evolved. And so I have always been extremely interested in staying current in best practices and changing and how we can best meet the needs of all of our students. And so this new role allows me to continue to be a lifelong learner, right? To continue to research and to identify strategies and techniques and now share it out, right? So when I was a teacher, I had the ability to impact, you know, as a high school teacher, maybe 100, 125 students a year. Then as a building principal, I had the opportunity to impact 700, 800 students, right? And now I look at my new role that is a national position that impacts so many teachers and leaders and students, and that responsibility is a little bit larger, right? Well, a lot larger, right?
Yeah.
Because making sure that all of our Catholic schools have, you know, the most relevant and current research and what is best practice in 2026 as opposed to 1990. And so I like that, right? Like I've always identified myself as a lifelong learner. And so being able to continue my own education and then sharing it out with others is really kind of what led me here.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think you and I have very similar identities, you know, of who we are, because I'm an SLP. I will always be a speech therapist first. I'm a CEO and a business owner. And, you know, I could serve 55 kids and now we have 3,300 kids or something, 3,300 kids or something like that this year so far. And, you know, it's like, yes, I can make that impact, but, you know, and that was a hard, one for me transitioning from, I remember God saying, it's time for you to stop doing therapy. And I was like, I don't want to, you know, I really, really didn't want to stop seeing the kids.
I was the same. Like I was going to be a teacher forever. Right. And I technically still am. Right. Like I don't have a class with students. Now I look at the educators as my students. Right. But yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah. But the impact that you and I are making is a huge one, you know, and a God ordained one. And that's the best thing too, is to just know that you're in God's will and doing what he's called you to do is an amazing thing. And he never gives us more than we can handle. I don't think anyway. And he guides us when it's, you know, I never aspired to be a business owner. I never aspired to be a CEO. But he called me to it. And so, you know, he calls you, I'm telling you, you better listen. You better listen, because, you know, and I don't listen very well sometimes. So, you know, that was one that was just like, oh, I don't know how to do that. I really don't. But, you know, 8 years later, here I am. And he has been so faithful through all of it. Right. So, yeah, very cool. Very, very cool. So this is really new. Like, is it just like in the last couple months or
about 3 months?
3 months ago. Yeah. So you're just getting your feet wet, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what is the most exciting part of this new role for you?
The opportunity to create content and share it.
Okay.
I started, you know, I've been kind of working with NCEA for a number of years in the different roles that I was had. And I used to present at conferences. And it was through those presentations where basically the presenters develop the content, they propose it, and then you get accepted to speak. And so I've been very fortunate to speak at a number of their conferences. And it was through those opportunities that I really started to really see what NCEA was about as a whole. And again, I'm still pretty new, but the more I learn, it was the right thing, right? It was allowing me to take that focus and that interest in curriculum, in instruction, in education as a whole, and develop it and share it. And so, yeah, like you said, I'm still learning. So each day is something new, and dipping my toe here and, you know, just really getting to see what it's all about. So it's really kind of staying current. I think that's so important. Like, I've had some amazing, myself as a student, has some amazing teachers that continued to evolve with the times. And then I've worked with some teachers who, you know, may have been exceptional educators 20, 30 years ago, but they stagnated, right? Because they didn't continue to grow and to broaden. And so I never wanted to be in that place of stagnation. And so this new role is going to allow me to continue to be on the forefront of best practice in education.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great. I love that I get to talk to all kinds of people, you know, across the gamut. It's exciting just to hear your enthusiasm and with what's happening. What would you say for the Catholic schools? Because you are coming from a very Christian model, and they're mostly private, right? I'm sure there are scholarships, but mostly private schools, right?
Yeah, they're all considered private schools.
Okay, yeah. So what would you say is one of the biggest challenges that we're going to see as a private school, as a faith-based private school? I know we you know, that whole separation of church and state, and you don't have to deal with that. But, you know, from that perspective of, this is a private Christian organization that is doing many things, and the world is just at 100 miles an hour. And sometimes we really aren't going in the right direction. And some, you know, in many ways we aren't. I think it's coming back some, and I don't want to get political, and I'm not asking you for politics. That's not what I'm looking for. But where do you see, as an educator and as a private educator, I'm just rambling here, but where do you see it going is my question.
I think something that we are very intentional about in our Catholic schools is having an opportunity for everyone to be a part of that community. We are not, you know, most of our schools have many, many students that are not Catholic. So we are very inclusive. We are welcoming to students of all faiths in our communities. And I think it is a very safe space. It is very much family oriented, right? Families are huge partners, right? Like, the parents are the first teachers, right, of their
students.
Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely, 100%.
It is our role to partner with parents, and our Catholic schools are exceptional partners to our parents. And providing, you know, one thing that we're constantly looking for are ways to provide opportunities for all students to have the ability to attend a Catholic school if they desire. You know, we are moving in the direction that many, many states are starting to incorporate school choice, which is opening that door for families. And, you know, probably one of the things that I hear a lot of as not necessarily a concern, but maybe a disconnect, is we do have a lot of families choosing to homeschool. And so it's, how do we either partner with those families, or if they haven't explored our Catholic schools, showing that the Catholic schools are a great option for families that are looking for a change. And most of our schools do provide some kind of scholarships to make that opportunity available to students. So there are a lot of ways to, you know, if you, there are families out there that think, you know, I'd love to send my kid to the local Catholic school, but we can't afford it. Well, I would encourage them to reach out to that school because there might be opportunities that they aren't aware of that the school leaders would absolutely find a way to help them come to the school.
Are you struggling to keep speech therapy fully staffed or tired of high turnover? You're not alone. At Lighthouse Therapy, our speech language pathologists are seasoned professionals, and most of them have over 16 years of school-based experience. They're not just qualified, they're consistent, relational, and results-driven. We offer three flexible delivery models: virtual therapy, hybrid therapy, and in-person therapy. It's speech therapy done right for you and your students. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together. And I love that because that's a message that needs, I did not know that. Honestly, I did not know that. And, you know, but I never investigated it either. So how, you know, and we make assumptions as human beings, make assumptions. It's a Catholic school, so I have to be Catholic to go there. That's obviously, clearly, that's not the case. And that's fantastic. And then, you have an opportunity to do something different if you want to as a parent and have a different perspective on education and what you do. And that's really neat. That's really neat that there's lots of opportunities out there for parents to do that. And I had no idea. So that's really, I love that.
Yes.
And you get a chance to serve. You know, that's the thing about educators. We serve. Right.
So, and one of the greatest things when I've worked with teachers in my role as principal and superintendent, and now in my current role, if a teacher has come from a different environment and has found their way into a Catholic school, one of the first things that they say that they really appreciate now is the ability to talk about God with their students.
Mm-hmm.
Have that freedom that if a student is going through a rough time to say, well, let's pray with him or her. Be able to have that freedom and that luxury of bringing faith into the classroom. And it's integrated through all components of the education, not just in the classroom, but it goes into the athletics, right? As a high school principal, it was always amazing to me when our teams, before they would either tip off or kick off, right, would say a prayer, right? Like, so you have two teams in solidarity, you know, recognizing that, yeah, we're here to compete and we're here to have fun, but we're recognizing God first. And so that is a luxury that is not afforded unless you're at a faith-based school.
And you know, what's beautiful is I'm seeing that. I'm seeing it in other schools. I'm seeing my son, this is going to get me emotional. Oh, sorry about that. Oh, goodness gracious. You're seeing it on TV. You're seeing these famous, you know, college athletes and professional athletes praying and thanking God. And it's like, yes.
Right.
And my son, if I can get it out without crying, good grief. He went to a public school for, we homeschooled some. My kids went to a public school for quite a bit at the beginning. And then I homeschooled for 8 years. And then they all went back to public school for different reasons, But he wanted sports. He wanted to have football. He ended up wrestling. And the wrestlers, every meet, would get down on their knees and pray. And it was a public school. And I love that for them. And, you know, I'm a Christian. I can raise my kids that way. You know, God is such a huge part of who we are and what we do and all of that. And for them to recognize and to be able to do that. And I know there isn't, not every school can do that. But it's beautiful to see when it is allowed and when they do. So, you know, and then just have it be a part of your culture. You know, it just becomes, because God isn't just, it was funny, my pastor this weekend was just talking about, are we looking at the big picture? And he was talking about faith and being a Christian. And it is not a label that we wear sometimes, you know, it needs to be. And he was like, the church is not an institution. The church is Jesus Christ and his message and us as human beings. And my previous pastor was the same way. He's like, the church isn't the building. The church is the people that are in that building, you know? And so that's really neat. And I love that. And I love the fact that those kids can come and be able to do that and not have to worry about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So, so what would you say as an educator that is the biggest challenge for the Catholic schools right now in 2026?
Probably enrollment, right? We're always, okay. you know, wanting to make sure that families know that there is a space for them. You know, so that's always something that we are working towards, to making sure that, people are aware, right? Mm-hmm. That they are welcome and invited, and that there are opportunities for them to get there. But not just that, I think, and this is a problem facing all of our students today, and it is the prevalence of technology and social media and things that are starting to really impact so much of their lives. You know, we're starting to shift across the country with schools and states, you know, saying a phone-free zone. But we're currently reading a book called The Anxious Generation. And
good book. Yeah.
It's amazing, but it's also sad, right? It's scary, right? I've already told my sons that whenever they decide to get married and have kids, the first thing I'm getting them is this book, right? Because I want them to be aware of these things that are facing kids today, and how that we as adults and as parents and as educators can combat and really help what is becoming a crisis in our country. And so the more that educators know about recognizing the signs of whether it's depression or emotional, problems that are a lot of it coming from their exposure to technology and many different facets. We just need that skill set and that ability to help our students. And not only that, to take a step further, to help our parents recognize. You know, we talk a lot about these safety parameters that we put on playgrounds and on school buses, but where are those safety parameters around technology, right? And so it's just that awareness and that understanding. And I it's not going away, right? Like, technology is certainly not going away. So how do we help kids navigate the use of technology and AI? And even so much as recognizing, well, is this real or is it AI, right? Like, is this right? So
it's kind of scary now. It's looking more and more real.
Yeah.
The next iteration, you know, it used to be the hand was out of place, or this shoulder looked weird or whatever. They're not, that's not the case anymore. And that was like in 6 months, they figured all of that out.
Whew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's definitely a concern that I have. Not a concern, but it's something to be aware of, right?
Yeah.
And to help our educators and parents, you know, recognize signs if there's a problem, or how to intervene, and really to put some limits on some of those things. But I think that's impacting all of us. So,
For sure. My cell phone is sitting right there. You know, I have it on mute, but it's there. It's there. And it tells me when I've used it, how much I've used it each week, and if it's more or less. I'm always happy when it's less, but you know, it just is. And it's just, but it's also a tool, but it's not even a phone anymore. You know, it's like, that's like the kids don't even think of it as a phone. It's like, oh yeah, it does make phone calls, doesn't it?
My sons don't even have their volume on their phones. Like, when I call their, they don't have the volume.
Sorry, I was on silent. Yeah, that's what I get. Yeah. Sorry, I was silent, Mom. It's always on silent. I'll get back to you, especially my youngest who's in Michigan. He's like, yeah, I'll get back to you, Mom. And it's like, and he does. I mean, he does. He's a good kid, but not a kid anymore. He's going to be 24 this year. Ooh, that's my youngest, but they grow up so fast. But I think you hit the nail right on the head. And when you said, it's like anything else, and I love that, was if you use it to excess, that's the biggest problem. And it's addicting. We know that it can be addicting. And especially the younger you are, the easier it is to feel addicted to it. Like, you can't put it down. You know, even myself, I've my I'll turn it off or I'll put it down and not know where it is in the house. But then the second I need something or I'm thinking about something, oh, where's my phone? Because I need to go look it up or go find that information or whatever. You know, it's like, at least I put it down. It's not like, it's not like it's attached to my hip 24/7. So
yeah, I lose mine all the time. So thank goodness I have my Apple Watch and I can do the find my phone because I'm constantly losing mine. So
but you and I grew up in an era where there wasn't cell phones. There wasn't, you know, it's like I was born in 67 and, you know, that was just, I'm 58 and I'm not, you know, that was before the internet and before
pregnant with our first son, right? My husband had a beeper, right?
Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Pagers. Yeah. Remember pagers. Oh my gosh.
And so no such thing as phones at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I was so impressed with my husband when I met him because he had a bag phone in his car. He had a phone in his car. That was really cool. We've been married 31 years. He's still cool to me, but you know, but that's just it. It's just like, it's so fast. I think that's part of the problem too, is how fast it is and how fast it's changing. Yeah.
For sure.
And how do you navigate that?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. You get to do that. You get to get the curriculum and tell us how to do that. I ask the questions. I don't have to answer them, right?
Have the answers yet either. So the more education we have, the more skills we have, the more tools we have, you know, the better. But no magic pill yet.
No. And there's never going to be. It's all about discipline. You've got to discipline yourself. And, you know, as long as you see the technology as a tool and not a necessity, because it, you know, it, go back to my childhood in the 70s, we didn't have any of that. And we were just fine. You know, it's like, see, I love the books or the movies where they apocalyptic, they, you know, this horrible thing happened. No more technology. It's like, how is that an apocalypse? I'm sorry. If you can, if the pioneers made it, you know, we didn't always hear what happened to Aunt Ethel until she was dead for 10 years. But, you know, this is like, it didn't, when you think about the grand scheme of life and what we're doing, we only have today. We're only given today. So, you know, use today to the best of your ability and scrolling.
Sure.
Isn't always the best. Yeah. I want to give you an opportunity to tell people how they can find more information about you and about what's happening at National Catholic Education Association, because I'm sure there are people that would love to reach out and have questions.
Yeah, for sure. So, you can find me on LinkedIn, but definitely NCEA.org is our organization's website. A lot of great resources there, a lot of information on how to get involved. So teachers can either join with their school. We certainly invite and encourage dioceses or individual schools to join, but even individuals can join as their own. They get the opportunity to enjoy these webinars that I am working to put out and moderate and read the different blog posts and really kind of have the opportunity to have. We just have so many resources available. Our goal is to make teachers' lives and principals and superintendents' lives easier and give them resources and supports and help them find answers to questions that they may have. Because again, it all trickles down to our students, right? And our goal is to give our students the best experience, with their education. And I would definitely invite people to reach out to that website and reach out to me, you know, and I'm happy to connect them with any supports or resources they might need.
So, Kim, thank you so much for giving us the information on how to get a hold of you and what you guys are doing and just your insight. Obviously that you're very passionate about what you do. And I love that. I love that for the kids and for the Catholic schools that you're going to impact. And it's just fun to talk to somebody else who also is a believer and loves what they're doing as well. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. I've enjoyed it.